WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. A big snowstorm is headed to western New York. Governor Kathy Hochul has declared a state of emergency.
It's not just the volume, 2 to 4 feet the first night. We could possibly see anywhere from 4 to 6 feet total between now and Sunday. It is the rate of snow that is most concerning. It went from 3 to 4 inches an hour.
And a source tells the AP the NFL is moving Sunday's Bills-Cleveland Browns game in Buffalo to Detroit because of snow. And it's not just New York. Forecasters warn of accumulations of 2 feet or more of snow in parts of northern Michigan through Sunday. The acting police chief in Uvalde, Texas, is stepping down. Lieutenant Mariano Pargas is the second police leader to lose his job in the fallout since the massacre in May, where hundreds of officers waited more than an hour to confront a gunman inside a classroom at Robb Elementary School. 19 people were killed in Texas. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she will not take a Democratic leadership role in the House when Republicans take control. Here's the AP's Sagar Magani.
Pelosi is 82, as is number 3 House Democrat Jim Clyburn. Top Deputy Steny Hoyer is 83, and not long after Pelosi's speech said he too will stay in Congress but step down from leadership. Clyburn has said he wants to keep a leadership spot but also looks forward to helping the new generation, specifically noting the trio of Hakeem Jeffries, Catherine Clark, and Pete Aguilar. Sagar Magani, Washington.
And with Republicans taking control in the House, Ohio's Jim Jordan says there will be investigations of President Biden.
The only way you can hold people accountable and hopefully stop the behavior is to present it to the country. That's what we got to do. So we're committed to doing it in an aggressive fashion, but in a way that's consistent with the Constitution.
Worries about more interest rate hikes had stocks lower. The Dow finished down 7 points. This is AP News.
Gifting season is here. It's not too early to find the perfect presents like the styles every guy loves from Untuck It. Get ahead of your holiday shopping with wrinkle-free shirts, long-sleeve polos, cozy sweaters, and more. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked, so they help guys to look sharp and feel casual. That's why he'll love unwrapping one of our iconic shirts this year. Now's the time to beat the rush and find the perfect shirt at Untuck It or at over 80 stores. Untuck It, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Hi. This is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
We have a full hour. hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. It's life in prison for Darryl Brooks Jr. with no chance of ever getting out. The judge in the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial sentenced Brooks to six life sentences without parole for killing six people last November. The judge also sentenced Brooks to the maximum 762 years for 61 counts of recklessly endangering safety. Wisconsin state health officials are urging people to protect themselves against RSV and the flu this holiday season. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services says stay home if you're sick, especially if your loved ones are at most at risk. Wisconsin hospitals have seen a spike in cases ahead of schedule this season. In sports, the Bucks beat Cleveland last night, 113-98. The Packers host Tennessee tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday Packer pregame edition. How you doing, little buddy?
Crudy, I am fantastic. Happy Friday Eve to you, Evan, on the board. Thanks for helping me out on the tech today, and Brian as well. And our fair audience, great to be with you all again.
Dominic, you're sounding sexier than ever, man.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I would point out, for the sake of our fair audience, if you're in the Richland Center area, anywhere in southwestern Wisconsin, tune it in to WRCO tonight, 7:15 kickoff. Packers playing the Tennessee Titans. Dom, any early predictions?
Pain.
Come on, man. That's an old one. Who are you, Clubber Lang?
I don't know the line, man. If I knew the line, I'd tell you. You know, Packers came off a solid performance last week. And,
Hail Mary that either is the last flickering hope of a good season, or, you know, maybe it's the turning point now. The turning point. Dom, perhaps a turning point today in our nation. Nancy Pelosi not seeking House leadership after 20 years. She will not be the speaker. Apparently, Republicans have won the House. And Nancy will not be the leader of the Democratic caucus, not seeking leadership. A changing of the guard, if you will, Dom.
Yes. it's been so long that Nancy's been there in leadership. It's hard to imagine the Democratic caucus without her. And I got to tell you, I've grown to respect Pelosi over the years. And really, as far as I'm concerned,
as a day trader,
the pinnacle of her leadership was the videos of her, how she handled everything during the January 6th. Insurrection, riot, attempted overthrow of the government. I mean, she was cool. She was calm. She was collected. And she was, you know, trying to get things done. Truly a leader. And of course, a woman in such power. What a career.
A changing of the guard, obviously. And I would wonder who's up next. You know, that's an old football thing, right? Somebody goes down, somebody's up next. Who will be up next for the Democratic Party? Who's the next leader?
And Steny Hoyer also, to my understanding, said he will not seek a leadership position again as well.
You know, I see, I don't want to get it wrong. Who'd I see? I want to say Rokana. I'm not sure if it's Rokana. That might be wrong. The congressman from New York is the early leader, my understanding, for the Dems. I'm like you. You don't know the batting line, and I don't know who's going to be the next Democratic leader in the House of Representatives, Tom. I'll get back to you on that one.
Well, they're going to have a vote, right? They're going to have to go through the whole process, right?
Yes, but you know how it works, man. There's always a line of succession in politics. I mean, Nancy Pelosi was second to the presidency. You don't think
Are you thinking Hakeem Jeffries?
Yes, that's
who, that's it.
Exactly who I was thinking. Thank you. Thank you for that. If little else, you helped fill in for me once.
I'm checking out, man. I'll see you guys at happy hour.
Well, it is Friday Eve, right, Dom?
That's right. That's right.
So she's not going to seek House leadership. You know, Dom, an article, an opinion piece over at the Washington Post. Perry Bacon Jr., Nancy Pelosi's strategies were flawed. Democrats must move on from them. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, cast shade.
But I'm going to cast a little anyway.
I am a little less impressed by Nancy Pelosi's leadership. I would point out, Tom, you know, in the 20 years she was the leader of the House of Representatives, it's not like the Democrats had control of that House for a long period of time. And if your, you know, legislative will is successful, presumably the voters help you retain control of the body. So anyways, let's jump in here a bit. Not that I would cast aspersions, but let's read. With Speaker Nancy Pelosi stepping down as the leader of the House, Democrats following the Republicans winning control of the chamber, the Democratic Party should acknowledge the many shortcomings of her tenure and avoid repeating them. I would point out our phone number is 844-967-2789, and Dom probably brought this to my attention. It probably Dom's fault, but I'm going to read. Don't hold me fully accountable for what I read. Becoming the first woman to serve as the Speaker of the House is a tremendous accomplishment in a nation that has long blocked women from positions of power. And some of the right have acted in a disgraceful manner towards Pelosi. Most recently, she has been the target of at least two attempts to physically attack or even kill her. Think January 6th and then again last month when a man broke into her San Francisco home in search of her and assaulted her husband, Paul. Even aside from those incidents, many Republicans have used over-the-top and at times sexist rhetoric to demean her. So there's an understandable instinct to defend her, particularly for left-leaning people like myself and the author of this article, who generally agree with Pelosi's policy goals. But it's important to honesty and fully assess her record. In the simplest sense, Pelosi's tenure should be regarded as lackluster, because the party has won the House majority in only 4 of 10 elections since she became the House Democratic leader in late 2002. The Democrats' 6th defeat under her leadership means that they will yield the power to a class of Republicans who are amongst the most radical extreme people to ever control the chamber. It is hard to think of anyone with such a mixed record being allowed to lead a high-profile organization for 20 years, let alone considering a 21st and 22nd, as Pelosi did over the last few days. And it's not just about the Democrats' failure to win the House under Pelosi's leadership. Unlike even President Biden, who has only really led the party since 2020, Pelosi has been one of the chief decision makers and a prominent figure for the Democratic Party for the entire past two decades. Over that span, the party has consistently lost elections at the state and federal level, resulting in numerous terrible policies being adopted by Republicans, while good ones are stalled. An increasingly radical, anti-democratic Republican Party already dominates much of the country and could win control of the entire federal government in 2024. Almost no one in the United States has had more opportunities to stop the rise of the Republicans than Pelosi, considering that Republican strength, her tenure, cannot be viewed as successful, Dom.
Curdy Pelosi herself wasn't on the ballot in the districts that Democrats lost this month, nor was she, say, the party's political presidential nominee in 2016. And several other congressional Democratic candidates have long been in top leadership position despite lackluster results for the party. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Whip Richard Durbin, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer and House Majority Whip James Clyburn. Hoyer announced Thursday he would be leaving the party leadership, as I mentioned. But Pelosi has been at the helm longer than Schumer and in a more powerful role than Clyburn or Hoyer. She has been a defining figure in the creation of today's Democratic Party, which has four major flaws that led to consistent electoral and policy failure. Excessive caution and over-reliance on centrism, a brand that is a little more than we are not as bad as the Republicans, and a weak organization at the local and state level. Pelosi's failures stem in part from overlearning from her first major success as party leader. After the 2004 elections, when Republicans won the House, Senate, and presidency, Pelosi and then Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid were in charge of a Democratic Party that was divided and listless. For the 06 elections, the two Democratic leaders recruited centrist and even conservative candidates to run in purple and red areas. They opted against pushing an innovative policy platform in favor of a strategy of focusing largely on the foibles of George W. Bush and congressional Republicans.
Well, that was an obvious target, man. I mean, Bush was pretty obvious. Well, I'm not going to hold that against her.
The Democrats flipped both the House and Senate. It's not clear whether they won in 2006 because of the Pelosi-Reid strategy or simply because of the Iraq War and Bush's attempt to partially privatize Social Security irritated voters. Either way, it became Democratic orthodoxy that the way to win was a combination of promoting bland policy ideas that polled well, nominating centrist candidates, and emphasizing the errors of the Republicans over the Democrats' own vision. Pelosi herself aggressively enforced that orthodoxy. She was the most powerful figure in determining which candidates ran in House races and which political operatives directed their campaigns. And through her weekly news conferences and other public remarks, she shaped broader party strategy. Only a few months after AOC and other members of the squad were elected in 18, Pelosi started criticizing them as impractical and overly focused on media attention, making clear that she was hostile to the progressive movement in the party and that other Democrats should be as well. She constantly argued that Democrats should emphasize policies such as guaranteeing Americans were not denied health insurance because of pre-existing conditions, even as repeated election defeats for Democrats showed that focusing on economics and healthcare alone did not galvanize voters.
Dominic, a couple of the bullet points here by the author, let's go over them. Running on "we are not as bad as the Republicans" is a great strategy when a Republican president is in office pushing unpopular things. But in the absence of a Bush or a Trump in the White House, it's not enough. Democrats won the House under Pelosi's leadership only when a Republican president was in office and unpopular. See 06, 08, 18, and 22. And centrism alone isn't sufficient either. While Pelosi was banishing the squad in 19 and 20, the more centrist members she was aligned with were often running bland campaigns. Many of them were defeated, so the Democrats lost ground in the House 2 years ago, even as they flipped the presidency and the Senate. In the run-up to this year's elections, Pelosi was again urging Democrats to focus largely on so-called kitchen table issues. Thankfully, others in the party ignored her and campaigned on abortion rights, democracy, and other issues, in addition to the economy. Meanwhile, Pelosi ally Rep. Sean Maloney, Dem from New York, became the rare figure leading the party's campaign arm who lost his own seat. Oh. New York Democrats leaned into left-bashing and centrism, and they lost four seats now. In that state, that is a big reason why the party won't get a majority in the House. Now, it's not all going to be, you know, bashing Nancy Pelosi. She has certainly been a capable leader in many ways. Legislatively, she can whip some votes. But her policies have not led us to the promised land. And, you know, Super Bowl or bust, baby.
Certainly the Republicans, a divisive figure to them. Nancy Pelosi stepping down. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789.
This is really sad for America.
All right. See you later.
Taking them on their first real roller coaster.
Okay, buddy, come on over.
I don't know.
Let's measure.
Okay.
You're just tall enough.
Yes!
Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. Get the latest info about COVID-19 vaccines at getvaccineanswers.org. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
President
Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election.
Collectively, Republicans got 1.661 million votes. 51,000 more votes than Trump got.
He exhausted his cases. He exhausted the court challenges.
All the Republicans voted for Trump the way they voted for the assembly candidates. He would have won.
It was not rigged. It was not stolen. Donald Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election. It's really clear.
This message was paid for by the People for People People Corporation. Donate online at p4ppc.org.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
Actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator's going to dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans. And you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? Are you even smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack? What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP. We are the devil's advocates.
Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world. Thankful for that.
It's such a blessing, yeah. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 420 break. You can join us on the phones today, of course, toll free, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm trying to find an accurate line on tonight's game in case, you know, you want to line them up. It appears to be it is Packers -3. Packers -3 against the Titans. Titans are 6-3, man. Packers had one lucky win against the Cowboys.
Ah, Packers at home -3. That's a push, man.
So you're taking Tennessee. I'll put you down for them. Titans?
Sure.
Titans -3.
Yes.
We'll discuss off air.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm not giving Nancy Pelosi her due. She certainly had things to say today. I'd like to share some of that with the audience. And also, I feel a little embarrassed. So, you know, there's a little article. Who is Hakeem Jeffries? I mean, Crudy couldn't even remember his name with any sort of immediacy or alacrity. Well, so I've got a little article on Hakeem Jeffries. We could get to know him a little bit, Don, but what was your thought?
Well, I wanted to get to some of the former speaker sound, Nancy, yes, letting everyone know she's, although she's staying in the House, she will not be running for leadership positions. Evan doing all the hard work. We certainly
appreciate. I second that emotion, Dom.
let's hear what the speaker had to say. Cut number one, please.
While we will have our disagreements on policy, we must remain fully committed to our shared fundamental mission, to hold strong to our most treasured democratic ideals, to cherish the spark of divinity in each and every one of us, and to always put our country first.
Is Nancy calling
like she's ripping on the Republicans there a little bit?
Make America great again or something?
Let's keep going. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, not seeking the leadership to cut to.
With great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress.
And that's about when Crudy's phone started blowing up today, Dom.
Well, I got to tell you, man, at 82 years old, it's about time, man. I mean, we need to constantly bring up new leaders and groom them as best we can. And when you have, you know, older folks hanging out of the baton, they're going to have to, you know, pry it out of their cold, dead hands. You know, that's a little too long. So
Dom, she's a youthful 80.
Yeah, youthful 82. I know. I hope I'm like that when I'm 82. Cut number three, please, Evan.
With these elections, the people stood in the breach and repelled the assault on democracy. They resoundingly rejected violence and insurrection, and in doing so, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
I mean, I don't know about resoundingly, you know, come on, man. We still have Senator Johnson got reelected. We got, what, the Van Orden out in the La Crosse area, man. He was there, man. He lied about where he was. He's an insurrectionist. Lots of the insurrectionists ran. Lots of deniers got elected. So I'm not clear it was that big of a repudiation.
Truth, justice, and the insurrectionist way, Tom.
You know it, baby.
Coverage on Derek Van Orden, your insurrectionist buddy from the third CD, the congressman-elect, Washington Post, did a little story about him today. Did you see that?
Really?
Yeah, we should maybe get to that as well.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. Let's give Nancy her due, serving California. Cut number four, please, Evan.
There is no greater official honor for me than to stand on this floor and to speak for the people of San Francisco. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco, serving the great state of California, and defending our Constitution.
Let's play cut number five.
My colleagues, I stand before you as Speaker of the House, as a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a devout Catholic, a proud Democrat, and a patriotic American, a citizen of the greatest republic in the history of the world.
It's time for a new generation. Amen, sister. Cut six.
For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect. And I'm grateful that so many are ready and willing to shoulder this awesome responsibility.
Yeah, now who wants to step into that void, right? Instead of like, hey, where's Nancy? It's, hey, where's Hakeem? Hakeem! You know what I mean? Whoever it's going to be, the Republicans are going to hate on him anyway. A few more from Speaker Pelosi, no longer seeking the House leadership, but will stay in Congress. Cut number seven.
I believed then, as I believe today, this is the most beautiful building in the world because of what it represents. The Capitol is a temple of our democracy, of our Constitution, of our highest ideals.
And as she mentions, her husband, Paul, remember the guy that the, you know, MAGA tried to murder with the hammer? Yeah, guess a couple weeks ago. Not really that old of news. Let's hear what she had to say about her husband, cut eight.
For my dear husband, Paul, who has been my beloved partner in life and my pillar of support, thank you. We're all grateful for all the prayers and well wishes as he continues his recovery. Thank you so much.
And Speaker Pelosi, final comments today, cut nine.
Thank you all. May God bless you and your families, and may God bless, continue to bless our veterans and the United States of America. Thank you all so much.
There she is. Soon to be former Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced today she is retiring, not from the House of Representatives, will continue to represent California in her San Francisco district, but as a House leader. When January comes, she will be done. And it will be time for, what, Speaker Kevin McCarthy? They still got to vote on that, don't they, Dom?
Yeah, I mean, they're in disarray. Good luck with that, Republicans.
You know, I was reading a little bit of her resume, you know, just the Wikipedia style. But raised in the Baltimore area, she's been married to Paul Pelosi since, really, they graduated college. It's a long marriage.
Wow, yes.
And anyways, her greatest legislative move or piece she shepherded through, I would say, had to be the ACA.
Obamacare. Yeah, no question.
So she has legislative accomplishments. I bet you Kevin McCarthy will have none.
Come back.
More devils, you on the phones, perhaps. Do you love her? Do you hate her? Nancy Pelosi, soon to be former speaker.
Republicans are really down. Taking their good old time. Maybe they just...
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Women hear a lot about sex. self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote out those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
I'm Tim McGuire with an AP News Minute. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will not run for any leadership post in the Democratic Party's minority caucus in the new Congress, which will have a slim Republican majority. In a speech to the House, Pelosi said last week's midterm election, even though the Democrats lost the majority, is a victory for the nation.
Democracy must be forever defended from forces that wish it harm. Last week, the American people spoke. And their voices were raised in defense of liberty, of the rule of law, and of democracy itself.
House Republican leader, soon-to-be Speaker Kevin McCarthy, skipped Pelosi's speech. Republicans are readying investigations. Kentucky's James Comer, ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, is going after President Biden and his family, listing a series of accusations.
The Biden family's business dealings implicate a wide range of criminality, from human trafficking to potential violations of the Constitution.
I'm Tim McGuire.
Gifting season is here. It's not too early to find the perfect presents like the styles every guy loves from UNTUCKit. Get ahead of your holiday shopping with wrinkle-free shirts, long-sleeve polos, cozy sweaters, and more. UNTUCKit shirts are designed to be worn untucked, so they help guys to look sharp and feel casual. That's why he'll love unwrapping one of our iconic shirts this year. Now's the time to beat the rush and find the perfect shirt at UNTUCKit or at over 80 stores. UNTUCKit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Hi. This is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Republican state assembly members voted to bar Representative Janelle Branchon from their closed-door caucus meetings, citing a loss of trust. The letter, first obtained by WISP Politics, was sent to Branchon Friday, letting her know the vote was taken because of continual issues. No details were given on what those issues are. Branchon leads the Assembly Elections Committee and campaigned against Speaker Robin Voss during the midterms and has promoted conspiracy theories about the 2020 election and Wisconsin's election system. In a statement, Branchon called her colleague's actions petty and said she supported Robin Voss's opponent because she doesn't believe Voss can unify the Republican Party. Her expulsion from GOP caucus meetings bars her from discussions on potential legislation or political strategies. Voss has also said it's unlikely Branchon will remain as chair of the Assembly's Election Committee. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
A new generation,
just because we get around.
A new generation,
charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Generation. I hope I die before I get old.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, passing the torch from generation to generation. Nancy Pelosi stepping down as Speaker of the House, and apparently Hakeem Jeffries is next up. That's what we hear. Also, during the, you know, the news break, Terry Bell, our local news director here, statewide news director, Civic Media Network, tells us, unless you live in Milwaukee or Green Bay, you're kind of scroogied on the Packer game tonight. I wish we could stream it for you on the Civic Media app. We may not. But if you're in the southwestern Wisconsin area, of course, we'll be covering it for you on WRCO 100.9 FM. it'll be there about 7:15. Everyone else, they're going to be watching it on the interwebs, Amazon Prime, or it'd be a good night to go to the bar, right, Dom?
Right. Amazon. I got an Amazon account. I'll be fine. And I'm in Milwaukee. I'll be fine. 844-967-2789. A little bit crudy. New York Times did a little piece here on Jeffries. I want to share it with our audience. And for you, in case you don't know who Hakeem Jeffries is.
Or perhaps he just slipped your mind for a moment.
He's poised to succeed Pelosi as leader of the House Democrats. He's a political liberal, a former corporate lawyer, and an exceedingly careful tactician who rose to the pinnacle of power representing some of the nation's most iconic black neighborhoods. If Mr. Jeffries secures his ascent in the coming weeks, he would become the first new House Democratic leader in two decades and make history. No black politician has ever led a House or Senate caucus for either party. His elevation will also further consolidate power in his home borough of Brooklyn, where Mr. Jeffries represents a plurality black district and lives less than a mile from the Senate Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer. Jeffries, he's 52 years old, currently the House Democrats' fifth ranking leader, helped craft the messaging plan, heavy on pocketbook issues like health care and taxes that Democrats used to reclaim the majority in 2018. He was a vehement critic of Trump, whom he once called the Grand Wizard of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, in a reference to the KKK. He was also appointed by Pelosi as one of the House prosecutors during Trump's first impeachment trial. He quoted from Biggie Smalls, a fellow Brooklynite, during the trial. And in many ways, he and Ms. Pelosi have little in common.
That's him right there from the trial.
And if you don't know, now you know.
I forgot about that.
You know.
I was just going to mention.
A little bit more here. Let me just a little bit more. Be patient. Be patient. Now let you get at it, Crudy. The daughter of a congressman and former mayor. I'm sorry. In many ways, he and Pelosi have little in common. The daughter of a congressman and former mayor, she commands vast personal wealth and came to embody the progressive social politics of her adopted hometown, San Francisco, in stilettos. She's a master legislator who has helped pass landmark legislation for two decades. He, Hakeem, is the son of a middle-class social worker and caseworker for New York City who still lives in the heart of black Brooklyn and often pairs suits with sneakers. Outside of bipartisan federal sentencing reform, his own legislative record is relatively thin, but they do share key qualities. Both enjoy the widespread confidence of colleagues, have shown a willingness to check the most aggressive left-leaning factions of the party, and have earned reputations as disciplined messengers. Without ever declaring his desire for the job, Jeffries appears to have more or less cleared the field of potential competition in recent months. On Thursday, he declined to publicly discuss his future, repeatedly directing attention back to Ms. Pelosi, whom he called the leader for the ages. We'll see what happens as we move forward, but now is the moment to celebrate. Before winning a seat in Congress in 2012, Jeffries served for 6 years in the New York State Assembly. He has also been a corporate lawyer for CBS and Paul Weiss, and once considered running for mayor of New York City. He's married to a social worker and has two sons.
844-967-2789. The breaking news, the big news today, Nancy Pelosi will no longer lead the Democratic Party on the House side. Hakeem Jeffries apparently next up. And the Packers will not be playing out on normal TV tonight, so I know that's distressing to some, but probably not Rich in Arizona listening to us. How you doing, Rich?
Hey, Rich.
Howdy. Just want to say that the Speaker of the House does not necessarily mean they have to be a member of the House, which means that you can be the next Speaker of the House.
I would like to nominate Dom. Rich, are you with me?
No, on the condition that you got to get rid of your red hat and you got to dress up in a three-piece suit, and so you can be the next Speaker of the House.
A three-piece suit? How about just a suit?
Sport coat, jeans, Chuck Taylors,
sneakers.
I could do the Hakeem Jeffries thing. Hey, Rich, what about? Yeah. And I know that this is so far flung, but our buddy Bill Press says there's no way Kevin McCarthy will ever be Speaker. He's got too many enemies in his own party. Only has to bleed about three. We know it's not going to be Nancy Pelosi. She'd be far too divisive. But what about an outsider like outgoing Representative Lynn Cheney? I mean, could you see her running for Speaker of the House. I mean, she wouldn't get Kevin McCarthy's vote, but I bet she'd get about 215 Democratic votes. And, you know, all she'd have to do is get about five Republicans, Rich, and Liz Cheney could be your, I might have said Lynn, but Liz Cheney could be your Speaker of the House. What do you think about that idea, Rich?
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, because I think she's a good moderator between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well, the problem, well, I'd like to think that, Rich, thank you, sir, for listening. You know, she's still pretty Republican.
That's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Okay, fair enough. It's not our house anymore. I mean, we know, and we'll talk in just a minute, Dom, about some of the agenda of these Republicans, you know, still drunk with newfound one-vote power, Dom, you know, slim margins, but they'll have what? Subpoena power? They'll have the gavels. The nature of the political discourse in this nation just changed terribly for the worse, because the Republicans now control the investigative bodies of the House of Representatives. Can you see Chairwoman Marjorie Taylor Greene? She's laying claims to, like, the House Oversight Committee. Nobody told her no yet, so she thinks it's hers.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, who's heading the
judiciary
committee?
That's what happens when you win a majority in the House. You know, I mean, so yes, Jim, we're expecting that. We know Jordan. How Marjorie Taylor Greene is. We know how these Republicans are. And now that they will not have, you know, they won't be in the minority. They will be in a slim majority. They will, their actions will be available for all to see on a grand scale. And I fully expect them to fail miserably and get their asses handed to them in 2024. And if nothing else, at least we're going to see how they are, man. You see how they act, what their priorities are, and it's not going to go well for them, because I don't think they're really in tune with the majority of Americans on so very many issues.
Dominic, I don't know if you heard me. You were still talking. I was so rude to interrupt, but you know who's going to head up the Judiciary Committee, right? Jim Jordan.
GYM Jordan?
That guy. So when I talk about the tone of the House changing significantly, Dom, that's part of it, because they've already told us what their priorities are. The House Republicans vowed to investigate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the family's business dealings. That is their, it's not kitchen table issues. It's not what can we do for the American people. It's how can we get a pound of flesh out of Joe Biden's ass. How can we damage the family name? How can we tarnish him? So, you know, he's damaged goods for the 2024.
It's really interesting that Jim Jordan, you know, would be trying to damage other people's reputation. Jim Jordan. Does Jim Jordan know who Jim Jordan is?
Or what a bad reputation he has? Dom, CNN reporting, after clinching the majority in the House of Representatives in the midterm elections, top Republicans on Thursday outlined a broad range of investigative targets focused on President Joe Biden and his family's business dealings. Here's a quote, Dom. In the 118th Congress, this committee will evaluate the status of Joe Biden's relationship with his family's foreign partners and whether he is a president who is compromised or swayed by foreign dollars and influence, according to Rep. James Comer, right? Comer. Something like Comer, like rhymes with Gomer, maybe.
Like Homer, Kentucky. But Comer.
Comer, the top Republican on the House Oversight Committee. I want to be clear. This is an investigation of Joe Biden, and that's where this committee will focus in the next Congress. Now, in the wide-ranging news conference flanked by GOP Rep. Jim Jordan, who is expected to become the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and other Republicans on the Oversight Committee, Comer, rhymes with Gomer, said Republicans have made connections between the president's son, Hunter Biden, and the president that they believe requires further investigation. You know, let's cast some mud here and let us start digging. A little bit more here. Hunter Biden and the president that they believe requires further investigation. Comer, rhymes with Gomer, said his team has spoken with multiple whistleblowers who say they were involved in schemes involving the Biden family, reviewed Hunter Biden's laptop, and received previously unknown transactions. Previously unknown. Now, Comer, rhymes with Gomer, is specifically zeroing in on more than 100 bank activity reports, known as suspicious activity reports, that are allegedly related to the Biden family and says that the Treasury Department has ignored repeated requests when Republicans were in the minority to hand them over. What do Republicans do when they get a subpoena, let's say, from the J6
committee? They ignore the subpoena. That's what they do.
Just thinking about that, Tom. As part of this investigation, Comer Rhymes with Gomer said, "We would love to talk to people in the Biden family, specifically Hunter and Joe Biden. What is the likelihood that they're going to compel the testimony of a sitting president, Dom, you know, in the next 2 years? Yeah, it's not going to happen. You can get Hunter Biden to sit, but you're not going to get Joe Biden.
You're not going to get Hunter Biden. I mean, you know, he's a citizen. If he did anything wrong, there is already a DOJ investigation apparently into taxes and whether or not he was in possession of a weapon during his crack-addled days. So there's already something happening in that arena, and that will flush itself out. So, you know, good luck with that, Republicans.
It's just interesting to me where their priorities lie. You know, it's so transparent. All they care about is the next election, right? There's no governance involved. There's no planning. There's no agenda. The only agenda is damage Joe Biden. And you know what, Dom? With the examples of Benghazi and, you know, all the way back to Whitewater, dude, all the way back to Ken Starr. I mean, our job is going to be basically what? To defend and rehash old partisan hack attacks on Joe Biden for the next 2 years. Looking forward to it, are you?
I think Joe can defend himself. The White House crew, speaking to Joe, said the investigations are politically motivated and a waste of time. Instead of working with President Biden to address issues important to the American people, like lower costs, congressional Republicans' top priorities to go after President Biden with politically motivated attacks chock full of long debunked conspiracy theories, spokesman for the White House counsel's office, Ian Sams, said in a statement, President Biden is not going to let these political attacks distract him from focusing on Americans' priorities, and we hope congressional Republicans will join us in tackling them instead of wasting time and resources on political revenge. A spokeswoman for the Democrats on the House Oversight Committee, Nellie Decker, said the Republicans rehashed the same partisan talking points that they have been circulating for years. Now that former President Trump is running for office again, House Republicans' top priority is attacking President Biden and his family in a desperate attempt to return Mr. Trump to power. Republicans had little ability to enforce their document request when they were in the minority, but once the new Congress is sworn in January, Republicans will gain subpoena power, a more powerful enforcement mechanism to try to compel individuals and government agencies to hand over information. Well, you see how the Republicans, you know, that's the whole thing, right? So Republicans, when they're asked for stuff, they fight it, they ignore it, they take it to court.
You are not
whatever,
entitled
right?
to my testimony, says Mike Pence.
Right. But now they expect the Democrats to fulfill the will of a legitimate subpoena from Congress?
Good luck with that. I mean, really, I think Hunter Biden is more readily compelled than Joe. You know, I think there's plenty of executive branch kind of stuff. I mean, if Trump wasn't testifying, Joe Biden ain't gonna testify. Come back with us. Testify right here. On the phones, 844-967-2789. More devils, sexier than ever. My generation.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Come on.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course!
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hi there, I'm Kirk Bankstad, and I own the Monaco Brewing Company, and I also have a super PAC. We make good trouble in the North Woods of Wisconsin. You can support our efforts at themonacobrewingcompany.com and buy our woke gear, like t-shirts, hoodies, and trucker hats. Enter the code RADIO and get 10% off on your next purchase. A portion of all sales support the Monaco Brewing Company's super PAC, which is dark money meant for good. That's themonacobrewingcompany.com.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Always love it when you join us on the phones. You can anytime at 844-967-2789.
Higher Love, I thought he would have played that around 420, Dumb. Little Steve Winwood. Play it. Play the hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Dom, talking about the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I got some breaking news. Wisconsin's Secretary of State, for the last 44-ish years, has declared glorious victory today.
Yes!
Doug La Follette declares victory in the Secretary of State race that remains too close to call. Well, apparently
fighting
not for
Doug
him.
La Follette.
Bill Glauber reporting over at the Journal Sentinel, this newly posted, longtime Wisconsin Secretary of State. Longtime, that's the nicest way you can put it. Longtime Wisconsin Secretary of State Doug La Follette declared victory today in his latest race for the position more than a week after Election Day, according to the paper, with the contest still too close to call. But La Follette's challenger, Republican Amy Loudenbach, won't concede and said her rival statement doesn't change anything. A lot of people were getting exacerbated that it had gone more than a week and I hadn't said anything, La Follette told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. After looking at all the numbers, Waukesha County came in and I decided, okay, we won the election. Let's go. Dom, in her statement, Loudenbeck said, it's just another attempt by him to mischaracterize this race by framing my platform as his own. Come on, nobody's stealing your crazy-ass platform, right. Loudenbach.
Come on.
By framing my platform as his own while making a failed and completely inappropriate accusation of corrupt influences. My team and I will continue to await the final results of the canvas. And Dom, unofficial results show Doug La Follette leading by 7,660 votes. There's more people in that list than right now. Out of more than 2.5 million votes cast. Probably less than that. La Follette made his move as canvassing of results was underway. The deadline for the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission to certify results, December 1. La Follette said he had not been in contact with Loudenbach. It's understandable, he said. It's very close. She has the right to ask for a recount, which I understand. La Follette was first elected, Dom, when I was just a wee crudy of four. He was elected in 1974. And served a single term before mounting an unsuccessful challenge for lieutenant governor. He won the 1982 race for Secretary of State and has served continuously in the position during his tenure. Most of the office's duties have been peeled away. The office kept the great seal of the state of Wisconsin. And following the 2020 election, some Republicans sought to convert the office into an election oversight position. Which is a nice way of saying they were going to fuel, what, overturning elections from the Secretary of State's office.
Only the elections that Republicans lost, I'm sure.
Well, of course. I didn't hear Ron Johnson calling for a recount, did you?
No, strange how that is. None of that. So what does he get his retainer back from his attorney?
Jim Troupas? No, think of that as just, you know, money well earned.
Think of it as a payoff.
Well, if your initial thought, just an opinion expressed on the radio, that, you know, effectively Rojo was trying to pay off the key witness, Jim Troupas, by hiring him and creating a shield of attorney-client privilege, Dom. Well, while I think you're probably right on track, we don't know that for sure, Z. Well,
we can make, you know, wild assumptions.
The wilder, the better, right?
Well, especially knowing, you know, how Ron Johnson has behaved, and knowing he's a full-on mega, knowing Troupas was the guy that called him to, you know, put forth these fraudulent electors to the vice president. Yeah, they're all in, and hopefully this will be unwound at some point, but I guess he's elected again.
My prediction, Amy Loudenbeck would call the race for Amy Loudenbeck.
You think?
If given the opportunity, if she were awarded the office, she would call the office for herself and willingly overturned the voice of the voters here in the state of Wisconsin. That was her platform, right?
That's my understanding.
That person. I'm the chosen one. I will overturn the will of the voters for my voters, the more important voters. Kind of remember Scott Walker, how he governed, you know, 50 plus one. Never governed for the state of Wisconsin. Always governed just for the base. Well, that was your campaign, Loudenbeck. There was no mass appeal there. The only reason this thing's even close is because Doug got primaried by an overambitious political consultant from Milwaukee. Oh, yeah, and the candidate he told to run.
844-967-2789. Well, and I'll tell you what, if, you know, if she has the opportunity, Loudenbeck, to do the recount, I'm not sure, it has to be within a certain margin that she has to pay for it, right?
Well, yes. It would have to be a very tight margin. Didn't we make Jill, what, the Green Party candidate?
Jill Stein.
I almost said Steinhaus.
Joey! But that also changed. Didn't Scott Walker reduce the percentage of the margin, which kind of put it out of reach for him to hit the free recount? He would have to pay for it when he lost?
Well, the margin of victory in the first, well, the only time Walker lost the gubernatorial election was about 31,000 on under 3 million votes. And the margin of victory was greater than 1%, but 7,000, 76,000, 7,600 votes out of over 2.5 million cast. Yes, that probably statistically is within the margin of recount at the taxpayer's expense. Now, the fact that where are you going to pick up? I mean, we've gone through a couple of recounts here, right? Anybody find 7,600 votes? The only one to find 7,600 votes was Kathy Nicholas in Brookfield at home on a thumb drive. That, and, you know, there was that very ambitious, aspirational phone call from the former president down to the Secretary of State of Georgia. I just need 11,780 votes. You know, that may play in future history as well, Don. But Loudenbeck,
well, I think it's within the margin, and she has that right, and she decides to do that, make that call. Unfortunately, be on the probably on the taxpayer's dime, given the margin. But it just goes once again to reaffirm, if that happens, and that those numbers are fairly accurate, that our elections work. Our elections work, and all this was just a ruse, people. You too, Loudenbeck, you Republicans and the megas. This was all just a hack job from a guy who knew he was going to lose because he was a loser. Get in, losers. We're going losing. Donald Trump. So if it comes down to a recount, I'm all for it, man, because I have confidence that those initial numbers will be very accurate.
Dominic, I got more breaking news of a Packer variety. Randall Cobb has been activated from the IR for tonight's game against the Titans. Uh-oh. Sure you don't want to reconsider?
It might be 3.5 now, Crudy.
It might be. Also, we've got another candidate considering a run in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. That is the next race, perhaps the most important race of your life. A conservative. You're going to know this person. We'll tell you about it in the next hour. The Happier Happy Hour. Come back with us. You're listening to the greatest radio show ever, Devil's Advocates. You knew that.
Well, history's written by the winner, so it's largely...
Yes, it's true. This man has no...
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media.